So as we remain standing, let us pray. O Lord, we pray that we might meet with the risen Lord Jesus today and that we might hear your word to us. For we ask it in his name. Amen.
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 Please do be seated. Why have you come to church today? Well, the six-year-old me would have answered grudgingly because Mum and Dad made me. But I hope that you might have come to church today because you want to do what the disciples did in today's gospel reading. You want to meet Jesus. You want to have an encounter with God through the risen Lord Jesus. And on this second Sunday of Easter, we are taken to the evening of the day of resurrection. And here is the risen Lord Jesus. As Christians, we know that this is amazing because this is the resurrected Jesus. But it's very hard for us to get the full impact of what it must have been like for those first disciples. See, when we read about Jesus' crucifixion, we already know about the resurrection. When we read about the resurrection, we've heard it before. It's not a surprise. It's very difficult for us to do, but let's try to imagine what it was like for them. Our reading from John chapter 20 began on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. The disciples had gathered together and they were afraid. That's very understandable. Their leader had been arrested, tried, sentenced, flogged, and executed. And if that was how their leader had been treated, they were probably fearing the same fate. And we can probably add to fear a number of other emotions. The last time they'd seen Jesus was the night when he was arrested. The disciples had fled. The last thing Jesus had seen of most of them was their backs disappearing into the night. So we can safely assume that these disciples felt guilty and ashamed. They probably had a sense of failure too. Some of them might have seen the crucifixion. All of them knew about the crucifixion. We can add more emotions: grief, hopelessness, disappointment. Grief, naturally, at the sudden violent death of someone they loved. Hopelessness because they had pinned their hopes on Jesus, and Jesus had been pinned to the cross. Their hopes died on the cross. And with that goes disappointment. These disciples had left good jobs and their homes and families in order to follow Jesus. They thought that it would be worth it. They thought that this was important. And now, nothing. Disappointment must be an understatement for how they must have felt when things turned out like this. And maybe there was even some anger. It's not unusual for bereaved, disappointed people to feel angry. And we have to keep reminding ourselves that they didn't know what we know. They didn't know the ending. When we read earlier parts of the Gospels, there were times when Jesus spoke about his death and resurrection, but every time he did, the disciples did not understand. Now, by the evening of that day, the disciples had begun to hear rumours that Jesus had been seen alive, but most of them had not actually seen him. And there they are, hiding behind locked doors, with this whole catalogue of negative emotions: fear, guilt, shame, a sense of failure, grief, hopelessness, and disappointment. How wonderful then that Jesus' opening words are, "Peace be with you." You or I might have gone with da-da or surprise, but no, peace be with you. And how appropriate that is. The appearance of Jesus, a man who was dead and who has come into a locked room, was obviously remarkable and extraordinary. But the disciples' guilt and shame might have turned their fear of the Jews into fear of Jesus. And immediately, Jesus reassures. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Peace is such a lovely word. It's the antidote to so many negative things. The peace of God drives out fear. Peace between two people leaves no place for guilt, shame, and failure. Peace calms the inner turmoil of grief, disappointment, and hopelessness. We need to hear Jesus' words spoken to us. It's all right to use your imagination in prayer. You can imagine Jesus standing before you now and saying to you, "Peace be with you." And it's not just imagination, because Jesus is here saying, "Peace be with you." Have you come to church today with fear or anxiety? Receive Jesus' peace. Have you come to church today with guilt, shame, or failure? Hear his words of peace. Jesus forgives, so that there is peace between you and him. Have you come to church today with your heart and mind in a turmoil of grief or hopelessness or just disappointment at how life's turned out? Receive Jesus' peace. And when we have realized that we are in the presence of the risen Jesus, and when we have received Jesus' peace, we can then share the disciples' other emotion, joy. Jesus showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. For us, the very familiarity with this good news tends to dull our joy. We've heard it all before, but this is truly joyful news. This is Jesus. Before we finish, though, we have to note what happened next. It was wonderful, peaceful, and joyful to be in the presence of the risen Lord Jesus. But the disciples were not going to spend the rest of their lives in a cozy, holy huddle. The disciples were overjoyed, and the very next verse says, "Again Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.'" It was vitally important for those first disciples to have that time in that room together with Jesus, but they were not to stay there forever. They were sent. And it's the same for us. It is vitally important for us as disciples to come together in this place. But we're not to stay here forever. We are sent. Most of us will not be sent to be overseas missionaries or great evangelists. We are sent to be disciples where we are. Throughout the week, we relate to other people. We use the earth's resources. We spend money. We spend time. And the way we do these things and the choices we make will be affected by our encounter with Jesus. And I guess this is what church is about. We're not simply called to sit around feeling warm and fuzzy inside. But on the other hand, we're not sent into a challenging world without first meeting the risen Jesus and receiving what we need from him. This Easter reading from John's Gospel gives us a good example of the church. We meet together as disciples of Jesus in a room with unlocked doors. It could be a church building. It could be in a home. We meet with one another, but we also come to meet with Jesus. And there are two measures of a good service. It's not whether the organist played well, not whether the preacher was entertaining, not whether the flowers were arranged beautifully. The two measures to use are, did the worship glorify God, and did the congregation meet the living God? When we get it right, we will glorify God and we will encounter God through the risen Lord Jesus. And having met with Jesus, we'll then bring the service to an end and leave the safety and comfort of the church. We are sent by our Lord to put it into practice, to put into practice what we have prepared for in here. Amen.
Amen. Amen.